Proverbs chapter 1. Amen. Proverbs in chapter 1. Let's start and look. Sometimes I get looking and I'm like, where am I going? I'm talking, but I'm not flowing here. Proverbs chapter 1, let's read verse 10. I'm sorry, verse 8. The Bible says, "My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother, for they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head, and chains about thy neck. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not." So we, as we get into this, and as we began a couple weeks ago, we remember that Solomon is preparing his son for life, right? We're talking about real life. We sometimes I'm afraid what we do is we get into the Bible and we think that's kind of like a different, like, teaching. We think it's like a textbook, right? Like, this is some kind of thing that somebody is, you know, that's good for somebody else, right? Or, well, everybody doesn't take it serious, right? You know what I'm saying? We talk about, sometimes we will look at the Word of God and we'll think, well, that's good for you, but, you know, we don't all take it like that. Like, this is something that's kind of, I guess to say, something we can go on with life without it. So people think that way. I can have a good, decent life without following the Word of God. So people think like that. And others will say, well, you know, I've heard people say, well, Pastor, we just don't do it like you do. You take it more serious than the rest of us. Well, that's okay, because everybody doesn't need to take it as serious as me. That's weird. And that is funny, isn't it? It's kind of like, that doesn't even make sense. Well, I guess you'd probably want your pastor to take it serious. I mean, it's a good start. Amen. But I would want you to take it as serious as I take it. Right? And I think what Solomon is trying to get across to his son was, this wasn't just good for me, the wisest man that ever lived. Right? But so I want you to get it. And I want to give you some things. Frustrating thing it would be if you learned something in your life, and I mean, you learned it. You, through your experiences, you learned some things, and maybe a lot of what Solomon learned, he learned a lot of things through going his own way, right? I mean, God gave him wisdom. We understand that. God gave him wisdom. But then with all that wisdom that he had, here's what Solomon did. All that wisdom that he had, he took what he had and began to live his life. And the wisdom that he had was really how to judge God's people. People come to me, God. He said, Lord, they're going to come to me. Help me to judge your people. Help me how to have the right answers. You know, people come up and say, hey, what are we going to do? This is my kid, and her kid died, and she says it's my kid, and so they're fighting over whose kid this is. One kid, one baby died, the other. They didn't have DNA testing. Right? What are we going to do? Solomon says, why don't you just cut the kid down the middle, and you can each have half? Sounds fair. Right? And who would come up with something like that? Who would ever think, you know, I got an idea. Let's cut the baby in half, and you can each have half the baby. And, you know, that's just so odd. And yet, we know the story. Well, if we don't know the story, what happened, the true mother said, no, don't kill the baby. She can have the child rather than kill the child. The other one was like, yeah. Right? And Solomon said, well, that's the mother. Right? And so, I know we know that story because we know the story. So it's like, well, yeah, obviously that's a great... There's some things in the Bible that we see that we've heard and we know so much that it seems normal to us. But the fact is, God gave him wisdom. But even the wisest man that God has given all that wisdom to, we could find through the book of Ecclesiastes that he made a lot of bad choices. A lot of bad choices with all that wisdom. And he was looking for something. And so here's what he did. He said, you know, I found it. I wasted a lot of my life chasing the wrong things. He says this, I don't want to go to my grave without passing that on. So what a tragedy it would be is if we had something. And so I guess the other side is to grab this. And Solomon wants his son to grab it. And just God wants us to get this. And so we're going to find this. And so the question is not if temptation will come. The question is, what condition will you be in when it comes? And that's really kind of what this was really dealing with. And so we see there, just number one, we already have the blanks, but just to grab all the points. Truth is meant to be worn. It was the idea, not just heard. And so it's meant to be something. When you talk about worn, I don't mean we write it upon our forehead. Truth. A truth tattoo. I don't mean like that, or a truth headband, or, you know, or a hat. It's really talking about this. It's something that ought to be, what's that word? Visible. It ought to be seen. It really should. And if we're following that, if it's something we receive, it ought to be seen in our life. And he talked about the crown and the necklace and these kind of things. And we talked about those. I'm not going to go through that again. And then B, grace isn't something simply to be heard. It's more than being heard. It's to be worn. And same concept there. And then Roman numeral two was instruction received produces a mark, produces a life that's marked by grace. So when we receive instruction, man, it changes us, folks. It really does. When we have, when you think of a sports for a minute. Baseball. It's kind of what I know. I was coached in baseball. I was on Little League. And so, but I think about also maybe golf, a couple of those things that really take technique in the swing, right? When I was a kid, I started Little League baseball when I was 7. You know what a 7-year-old does? Mostly chases balls because he can't catch them, right? That was me. You know, okay, I was in right field and, you know, and didn't matter. I wasn't catching it. I just had no coordination, and so it'd fall. And then it wasn't later on as I got a little bit older, then I could catch, and I was a catcher and all this. But one thing that is when you're batting, right, what do they teach you? One of the first things they teach, of course, your position, but one of the things they teach you about when it's pitching, you're supposed to keep your eye where? Keep your eye on the ball, right? They say watch the bat hit the ball, right? I mean, you watch that ball right up until the bat hits it. Right? I was scared of the ball. I was scared of the ball. I was scared of the ball. I got hit in the head a couple times. That explains a lot also, right? And so I'd get up there. And so what I did, I became a bunter, you know, because bunt, you're kind of protecting yourself with the bat, right? And I actually got to be fairly decent at it. I was pretty quick in those days, and so I could bunt and I could do this. But you know, and then golfing. Anybody here ever golf? Yeah, some of you know golf. And a golf swing, miniature golf doesn't count. But when I got out there, my pastor would say, come on, let's go golf. And I'm like, all right, my goal is if I could go, we had 9 holes. It was a 9-hole course. Like, most of them were we're three, you know, 3 par. There's a couple of 4 or 5 maybe. But if I could start with the whole box of golf balls and come back with any of them, then I won. That was for me. And what I learned is there, you know, and so there's a way to hold it. And if you, there's some little techniques. And if you hold it right, you can kind of hit it in the right direction. And at first, I just thought if I could just swing as hard as I can, I'm going to hit it further. And I did hit it further. Just could never find it again because it, you know, went those directions. So here's the thing. What I found out with golfing, for instance, when I got to where I'd slow down a little bit and take those techniques and hold it right, and you put your thumb on this hit, and, you know, this whole thing, and, you know, and I never got very good. There's never. But what I did learn is when I could actually hit it kind of in the fairway, I actually got to where I hated it before. I'm like, this is stupid. How does anybody like this game? You know, I can't find it. I spent more time chasing, trying to find the ball in the trees. And it's so frustrating. Like, how does it? Well, you know what? After I received some instruction, yeah, y'all find it now. Okay, this is where he's going. After I received some instruction, and I actually could put that ball close to where it's supposed to be, you know, all of a sudden, it came to be enjoyable. I thought, okay, this is not, and then, you know what I thought? That's why people like golf. Okay, it's not just stupid thing you're chasing it all over the world, right? And so, can I say this? When instruction is received, and the restraint is learned, what happens is, watch this. And here's what's so funny about this. Some people will be a Christian, right? Right, air quotes. They'll be a Christian, right? They'll be in church, and they're doing this kind of thing, and it's kind of miserable. They're grumpy. You know, looking back at the clock, right? You know, like this. Like, I want the pastor to see me looking at the clock. Like, come on. Like, I care about you looking at the clock. Like that. Oh, no. That person that never pays attention is looking at the clock. Right? And it's frustrating. It's discouraging. It's boring. It's disinteresting. Then all of a sudden, something happened in their life, and they begin receiving the instruction. And then all of a sudden, they'll come in, and I've had people say stuff like this. That's why people like church, right? That's why it's enjoyable, because something happened. I'm just telling you, that, and this is what Solomon's trying to get across here. When we will receive it, I'm telling you, when we will receive instruction, it changes us. It changes. And all of a sudden, it's, wow, that makes sense. It's kind of like math. Just like math. Just like math. We used to have one of our daughters. She would cry at math. I mean, pretty much just the idea of doing math. But she'd sit there bawling, just tears, crocodile tears, right? Just messing up her page. And I'm not really the kind of parent. I have six daughters. Tears don't move me, right? I've had too many of them. And so it's like, you know, you keep working on it. And I would say, I had a phrase, my kids loved it when I said this. I'd say, it's what? It's easy. It's easy, just do this. I didn't mean to say that too much, but I guess I did. Because it became funny. To me. But you know what would happen is once they got it, all of a sudden you're like, oh, this is okay. There's something that happens. So there's this whole part of about receiving instruction, and that's really what he's getting at here. It produces a life that's steady. It's respectable. It's trustworthy. The scripture calls that, the word is grace. There's something that comes upon us. But here's the thing. It's something that can be seen. Okay? We have this thing, this situation, where we think we're fooling people, right? They don't know really what's going on in my heart, right? It's so funny. You know what I've learned? I've learned as a pastor, and I've learned doing this long enough, is it took me a long time to learn, because I'm the one that I want to call people out as soon as I see it. That's kind of what I want to do. And my propensity is like, come on. I know what you're, but you know what I've learned? And this is what's more exciting. Let the Spirit of God bring that out. Because He will, right? And when the Spirit of God brings that out, and they'll come and say, hey, you know, Pastor, I just want to tell you, this is really what was going on. And I'm like, yeah. And they're just, I've had this people come in, I got to talk to you about something. I got to talk to you about, and like this huge thing. I'm like, okay, what is it? And they'll tell me, and they'll say, okay, yeah. They're like, what do you mean? Well, I could tell. Listen, the Bible talks about our spirit, right, witnessing with their spirit. And so there's something that we can see that, folks, in a little bit. But we think, but the problem isn't just thinking we're tricking other people. The truth is we've deceived our own self. We deceive our own self. And this is something, I'm telling you, folks, this thing about this, it's something that can be seen. This grace of God that's on us, it can be seen. Matter of fact, can I say, and it can also be seen when it's not there. Don't think you're fooling anybody. I mean, you'll fool some people. And by the way, you can fool me. I mean, I'm not, you know, constantly, but you're not going to constantly do that. And there's a situation, it's meant to be seen, and it is seen. It is seen. So number three was this. This grace is formed through a submission to authority. That's the thing we all love to do, is submit to authority. It's like ingrained in us, isn't it, to submit. But through that, look at verse 8 again. It says, "My son, hear the instruction of the Father, of thy Father, and forsake not the law of thy mother." And I talked about this the last week. It's not accidental that he talks about the father and the mother here. This is God-ordained authority. Because moms and dads know everything, right? Don't you wish that was true? Don't you wish you have a child and all of a sudden there becomes this new download? Right? Just this new download and all of a sudden you know all the information. Who was it? We were talking last night to Sam and Nathan Walsh, and there's this young couple now that they're working with up there in the church. He's the new youth leader, and we haven't met them, but they just had their first kid. They have two, second kid. I don't know them anyway. So she was telling us, and it was talked to my wife. She said, "It's so funny." She said, they come up to her, and she said, "I'm just so thankful we have you to watch. You're just such a great example of parents." And she's like, "Whoa." She said, "No way." And she told her, she said, "Well, we're just telling you what we watched from the Hewitts. You know, like, they never seen this with little kids. You know, we just, you know, things that go on." And so, you know, there's this thing that God, and we're like, that's funny, you know, what the things that we had in our life. You know, here's what it is. There's no download. There's no download that you get. You have children, and all of a sudden there's this new chip we put in. That's why robots would be easier sometimes if God just made us that way. But there's this thing, but God, what God has shown us isn't that moms and dads are perfect. The really thing is this. God is teaching this order of authority. And if you can submit to imperfect mother and father, then you definitely can submit to a perfect heavenly father. And so when we do follow that, there becomes ability to go a little deeper with that. And so learning how to live under authority, it's really learning how to yield our will. I don't know how many of y'all, like me, I didn't learn to do that as a kid. I didn't. I wish I would have. What would have been different in my life if I would have learned how to submit my will to my mom? You know, whose fault is that? Was hers. It's her fault, right? No. There's, I'm kidding. Y'all with me? Everybody a little sleepy tonight? Parents, I was being a little facetious there, but there is a part. This is why it's important for us to tell kids no. So important to tell kids no. Yes. Yes. What do you want to do? Yes. What do you want to do? Yes. What else do you want to do? Yes. Kids like, man, I love life. I do whatever I want. That's it. We have. So as a parent, don't do that with kids. Wait till you're a grandparent, right? Wait till you're a grandparent. Then you get to say yes all the time, somewhat. You know what I'm saying? I'm being, you know. But here's the thing. It's about this situation where we are trying to help them to submit, learn to submit their will. And not give them all what they want, others submit their will, so that because we're teaching them that kind of thing. And so there's this kind of thing. The one who rejects instruction becomes self-governed. And the one who receives instruction becomes truth-governed. And that's kind of our situation. Okay. I think we're at new material now, right? All right. There we go. Roman numeral 4. The adornment of grace prepares you for the reality of enticement. The reality of enticement. Look again at verse 10. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. Okay. Solomon now shifts from what is on you to what will come at you. Okay? He was talking about the grace that was on us. Now he's going to talk about what's going to come at you. See, the situation is going to be a little different. He says, number one, if sinners entice thee, this isn't rare. Okay, when it says if, it doesn't really mean if that ever happens. It is expected. Okay? It's expected. When Solomon is telling his son, he's not saying, listen, son, if this ever happens to you, if you ever get enticed to be drawn away, this kind of thing. No, it's talking about this is what's to be expected. This is part. That's why we're in chapter 1 here, right? This is part of it. Number 2, enticement. Yeah, it's expected. Enticement, number 2, enticement is not forced upon you, right? It is attraction and persuasion. It is appealing. Okay? I want you to see this. So, sin does not come up to you and say, hey, this is going to ruin you. Come on. That's not how enticement works. Enticement isn't some kind of thing like that. It's not something that's forced upon you. I was minding my own business. I was doing all the right things. I was really doing well. And then I fell into sin. You ever heard people say that? I fell into sin? Like sin is some hole that's in. I was walking perfectly fine, and there was this hole of sin I fell into. Come on, that's not how this works. Right? Enticement, it's attraction and it's persuasion. Hey, it comes along by saying this way, it will benefit you. You've heard me say before about the little girl at Golden Corral. I'll never forget that little girl. I don't know why. I can still see her. I've heard me tell the story before, but I'll tell you again, because it fits here. Hey, how old are you? Well, when I'm here, my mom says I'm 11 or whatever it was, because it's under the children's price. And I thought, she said that out loud. And, it was kind of funny. It was kind of funny, because the kid's like, I'm lying, but I want you to know I'm lying. My mom says, I'm thinking, man, what a, here's the thing. Hey, just say you this, it'll save us $2. Lie. Okay, maybe it was 4. How much would you put on the lie? How much would we put dollar-wise on telling my child to lie to benefit me? Right? It's not that big a deal. Pastor, it's not that big a deal. It's just, it ain't going to hurt nothing. No, probably not. Is $4 going to break Golden Corral? Probably not. It might break that little 12-year-old girl. Might break her when she goes through her life knowing that mom says to lie. And so sometimes that's just what you do. So sin doesn't come. It's not forced. It's appealing to us. Just do something with the numbers, and this could be okay. Or this, hey, listen, if you do this, it'll satisfy you. And we'll get folks like this, folks. I'm telling you, people hate to hear this stuff. We're here Wednesday night, so y'all ain't the people that hate to hear this, but some people hate to hear this. If you would just work extra hours and not be at church, and you can meet your needs, and you're going to be able to live a little bit more better. Yeah, you're going to be able to live with a little bit more. You'll be able to have a little bit nicer things. Yeah, I know you're not going to be in church. I know it's going to take you out of there, but hey, it's going to satisfy. You're going to be satisfied with it. And I'm telling you, we're in a day and age in our society today. It's been going on probably, I don't know, maybe 50, 60 years we've been going. And probably, I think it probably really hit at World War II, right around that time frame, and really became something that shift work and all these kind of, probably before that, where shift work, hey, let's work when the sun is down. What would it be if we didn't have electricity? Still just work during the day. Wouldn't that be awesome? Okay. We had candlelight. Anyway, I'm glad we have electricity. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying. But this idea, this enticement is based on this thing of it'll satisfy you. Or maybe it's this thing. There's another area. If you will do this, don't miss this one because this is a big one too. If you will also do this, you'll be with us, right? You'll be included. You don't want to do this? Well, then I don't have time for you. But if you will do this, you'll be included. You'll belong. You'll be part of it. And so this enticement, it's not an enticement that says, if you do this, it's going to ruin your life, but I want you to come. No, it says, hey, this is going to be something that's it's going to satisfy you. You're going to be included. It's going to make you feel good. You're going to enjoy this. It's something that's going to benefit you. All these kind of things. This is what the enticement does, right? Sinners entice us with what they do. Listen, number three, the real battle is not in pressure. It's really this. You say, oh, they're going to pressure us real hard. Okay, that's always good. We're not going to ever get rid of that. The real battle is it is what you find desirable. This is the thing. We can't say, well, the devil made me do it. Right? We can't say, well, I wasn't going to, but he or she or they just wanted me and I just couldn't resist, right? They kept praying and I didn't have a choice, right? Don't deceive yourself with that. It's already what you find desirable. Roman numeral 5 takes us to this. The battle is won or lost at the point of consent. At the point of consent. Look at verse 10. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. Yeah, you read ahead. Good job. Katie was like, how did you do that? I was kind of like that too. And I'm like, oh yeah, that's the verse. Because that's not a word we use. It's really this, but it's at the point of consent. The focus is not on the action. Watch this. I've said this so many times, I want to say this without us missing it, but it's really the point tonight. So it's when we talk about standards, we talk about how we live our life. It's less of what we do and more of why we do it. You understand that? So, well, do you think this is okay with God? And can I do this? And what about this thing? Well, I think this thing is okay. And I don't, you understand? We could kind of really do this. Here's the thing. It's not so much the what. Now there is the what. Don't misunderstand. Obviously, there are some things that are just flat out sin. But the point of this is not the what, it's the why. Why am I doing this? And so here's this. The focus is not on the action, but the agreement. It's the agreement. I've agreed to, and this consent is what it's talking about. And so when sinners entice me, I'm like, hey, it's easy to blame other people, isn't it? All right, y'all don't want to answer that because we find ourselves there. Pastor, don't be taking away my excuse, right? I like it better when I can blame other people for my sin. Don't you? Yeah, I love it better when I, well, I wasn't going to, but I had no choice. Can I tell you who doesn't accept that answer? The Lord doesn't accept that. We're not going to get up to heaven, and God says, well, Ed, you did this and that. And he said, you said, God, I wasn't, but Mary made me do it. And I wasn't going to. I didn't want to, but I had to because my wife, this and that. God's going to say, oh, okay. No, it doesn't work like that. There's nobody that can give us that. Y'all, everybody's like, no, I think it'd be the other way. Y'all don't know Mary very well. No, anyway. So here's the thing, folks. It's this thing of agreement. Number one, sin begins in the what? Begins in the heart before it appears in the life. Okay? Remember we're talking about, before we talked about this thing of grace is to be what? It's to be worn. When we wear it, it shows. It's something that we've seen. It's both the same thing. Wear it, shows. And when it's not worn, it's because it's not in the heart. Right? Because it's not there, it's not in the heart. I hope that we could grab a hold of this. Listen, if it doesn't come out of me, it's not in me. Number two, there is a moment where a person accepts it. I'm talking about that consent. A person accepts it, agrees with it, and goes along with it. Now, you ever done this? I mean, don't answer this. This is rhetorical. Don't answer it. But I want you to think through this. Where somebody says, hey, why don't we just do this thing? And your first thought is, no, that's wrong. I ain't doing that. Right? And then they say it again, and they begin to entice you, right? Just what the scripture entices you. Well, if you do, then if you do this, then we can do that. And if you do that, then we can do this, or it's going to be this, or it's going to be that. And so you start this, and you're like, no. But you know, somewhere in there, you're like, no, shouldn't. You know what I mean? No. But you kind of want them to keep going. You kind of want them to keep enticing you. You want to, maybe it's this thing of gossip. Somebody will say, I don't need to hear about that. And then what'd she say? Right? Man, gossip is tough. Women get a lot of the grief for this, but I'm saying men like gossip just as much. You know? And they're like, huh? You know, the ear is bending, and we know that we shouldn't. But the more we're, good Christian folk will do stuff like that. No, I just want to know how to pray. I just want to know so I know how to pray for them. Right? Doesn't that sound really holy? I want to know so I know how to pray for them. Really, I just want the juice because we got that kind of. So there's a moment, though, when a person accepts that enticement. And then they agree with it, and then they find themselves going along with it. And, hey, that is where the fall begins. That's really where the fall begins, right there. So, again, I said this already, but you do not accidentally fall into sin. You first consent to it. Before we actually sin, we've already made a decision to consent to it. And this is what Solomon's saying. When sinners entice thee, don't consent to them. Don't do it. So, number six. What you wear determines how you respond. Okay? What you wear determines how you respond. So, verse 9 determines verse 10. So, what's on you determines what you'll do. So, Here's the question. Is there grace on you? Okay, this is kind of our thinking. That character of the grace of receiving instruction and making it who you are. So I want you to think about this with me tonight and for yourself. Am I the person? Am I receiving instruction? I don't always like instruction. Do you like people telling you what to do? Not really. Come on. You know, Eddie, don't do that. I want you to not do that thing. I want you to, the way you're doing it, I don't like the way you're doing it. Instead of painting this way, I want you to paint this way. Don't you hate it even when they're right? Especially when they're right. Right? And they're like, I want you, and you're like, yeah, my way works. I'm not talking about paint. I don't know anything about that. But you're like, what you just said won't work at all. But what I'm saying is sometimes we'll say something and we're like, my way works. It may not be the best, but my way works. It's got me this far. But where has it really got you? Right? And this, folks, remember, you're like, Pastor, you think we're all terrible people? You kind of sound like that. Remember I said, what's the title of this series? Passing on wisdom. Here's the good thing. If you already got it, amen. So now let's get it. Let's pass it on. And if you haven't got it, get it. Right? Receive it. And get the hold of this thing and go on. And you said, listen, this is what's on it. If it's, listen, is there grace on you? That's the question. If it is, and then that character of grace of receiving instruction and making it who you are. Number two, if instruction is truly received, consent will be what? Resisted. Come on, you should have guessed that one. Like, how am I going to guess that one? Get lucky. Okay. So, if instruction is received, if this grace of receiving instruction is on you, then consent will be resisted. It's not something that's going to be, it's not going to be something we're going to, when he says consent thou not, no, I'm not going to consent to that. Because it's not just, and here's what I'm saying. Here's the concept, I believe. It's not just a simple decision of that in the moment of that enticement to sin. You understand? Okay. Someone says, hey, do you want to do this sin? You know, nobody comes up to me and asks me if I want to shoot up heroin. I've not had anybody come up recently and said, hey, you want to go shoot up heroin with me? I'm like, man. I don't struggle with that, right? It's not a struggle. Somebody, or asking my wife something like that, like a needle, are you crazy? No, Satan doesn't tempt us with something that's ridiculous. My wife would, even if she was a strung out drug addict, she wouldn't do needles, I'm telling you. She just, it'd be like, anything else but that. And so what I'm saying, that would be dumb to entice somebody with something that they're not part of what they are. But for some people, there's other things. To look at things, right? Other people are like, why don't I look at that? What's wrong with you? You know, it's the other things. But I'm going to tell you what, it's not a simple moment all of a sudden we're sitting there. You know, I've never thought about shooting a heroin. Yeah, I think I'd like to go try that. People don't think like that. What I'm saying is it's not a moment in time. It's not a moment of time. And all of a sudden there's that moment of that enticement to sin that comes out of nowhere and says, okay, I'll do that. That's not how this works, folks. It's about the character of who you are. It's about who you already are. But the opposite is also true. What can happen when we do not receive instruction? We instead become defined by an idea, of an ideology, and not by the instruction of truth. Well, I think it's okay to do this or that. Right? Sometimes we want to grab a hold of something that doesn't even make sense just because we want to do what we want to do, and then we make a theology out of it. Once we have identified ourselves with that said ideology, we defend it. I believe this. Because we're no longer defending... because now we're no longer defending the idea. We're now defending who we have become. So, You ever heard, and I don't want to pick on this, but it is so evident. If you ever heard somebody defending, well, let me just clean it up a little bit. We have this whole thing now in Congress and all over. What is a woman? What is a woman? And we have a Supreme Court justice that wouldn't say what a woman was. We have this kind of thing. So what's happened is and I don't mean just that, but I'm just saying this whole concept is I've identified with an ideology. Now I can't even argue with it. I can't even, now when you attack that ideology, now I'm defending it all the way to the end because I identify with it. And now when you attack that ideology, you're attacking me. And so it's who we become, and it becomes this kind of weird thing. So that's why we find people, even believers, defending ridiculous ideas that have no biblical basis, and the reasoning is just plain idiotic. Why would they even do that? Why would they defend something that's just so... Because they, or should I say, I say sometimes something like this, well, we're not talking about an idea or a concept, but whether or not something is sin, we're now defending our right, watch this, our right to self-govern. What I want to say now is I have the right to self-govern. You can't tell me. Goes back to this thing of authority, doesn't it? We're no longer defending a position. We're defending our own ideology, our own identity. And we do not want to have to change. So number three, last thing here. When instruction is rejected or shallow, consent is easy. The issue is not just the pressure around you, it's the condition within you. And so, listen, you will be enticed. That's not the question, right? You will be enticed. The question is, what are you wearing when it happens? Right? Are you shaped by truth? Or are you exposed without it? Are you governed by instruction or governed by desire? The decision in temptation is not made in the moment. It is made in the life that was built before that moment. And I suppose we could say it is what is built below the baseline. Right? It's what's below the... It's really what we've already built below the baseline. Victory over sin is not won when temptation comes. It's won in what you choose to wear before temptation ever arrives. He said there, verse 9, it shall be an ornament of grace upon thy head and chains about thy neck. I don't know if it's... I don't want to take the symbolism too much, but it's around our heart and our mind. Protect those things. Father, I pray that you'd help us, Lord, with these things tonight and what we've looked at. And sin is such a dastardly deed to come into our life to try to draw us away and entice us. And Lord, this is challenging. Lord, we could pretend like it's all easy for us, and we won't do that. But yet, Lord, the reality is we do find this enticement. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us to prepare our hearts and our minds ahead of time, and that we'll put our hope and our trust in you, that we will learn to submit to you. And we'll thank you for it now in Jesus' name.